3.
Yeah, okay. This is, today is January 17, 1996, National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History. We are interviewing Roland Harrison in his office in Blonox. I'm Gabrielle Denman. I'm in Sharpsburg, thank you. I'm Gabrielle Denman. I'll be the interviewer. Mary Harrison will be the recorder. Roland, would you please tell us your full name, your birth date, and where you were born?
Roland Harrison, July 27th, 1923, born in Columbia Hospital in Pittsburgh.
Okay, Roland, first we'd like to know as much as you have on your family background. First, tell us the names of your parents and their dates. Okay? The name of your mother first, when she was born, when she died, where she was born.
My mother was born in Pittsburgh on Armistice Day, November 11th. I'll look up the year for you. And she died on the 7th of July, 4th of July, 2nd of July, 2nd of July, 1953.
And what was her name?
Hermine Hirsch Harrison.
Okay. Can you do the same for your father?
Okay. Let me put the dates right.
Yeah, okay.
She was born November 11th, 1892, July 2nd, 1953.
Now, can we do the same for your father?
Okay. My father's name was Meyer, M-Y-E-R. In his later years, as he matured, he became Michael. And he died on December...
Born
October 5th. And born October 5th, 1888, Scranton, PA. Died December 11th, 1979.
Now, for the record, I will tell the tape that Roland has his genealogy on computer, and it's going to be a very organized interview. So what I suggest, if it's okay with you, tell us about either your mother's or your father's family, but just that one, and then we'll do the same for you. You follow me? Okay. So you're on.
Excuse me, 1 minute. One suggestion to continue the continuity for you as well, and for Gabby. If we need more dates, is it okay with you? Would you prefer if Roland went back to the dates on his computer after the interview?
Definitely.
I'll make a note.
Okay. Let's do that.
Well, my mother's mother was Rose Hirsch, who was one of five or six or seven children of a family in Youngstown, Ohio, named Rice. She is the only member of the family who ever got married. And they were all old maids and one brother. The brother worked for the Dollar Savings Bank in Youngstown, and the sisters were fairly ordinary people, except one, Miriam Rice, who was a very good artist, taught art in Youngstown, and we have a number of her pieces in there. Her father was the son of Elaine Einstein and Max Hirsch. And Elaine Einstein came from Lausheim, Germany, in about 1858, and Max Hirsch was from Karlsruhe, and he came here about the same time. I'm not sure they knew each other before they came here, but anyway, they got married, and they had two children, and Max promptly died at the age, I think, of 28. And he's buried up on Troy Hill in the extension of Westview Cemetery. There's probably 100 graves up there, and his is one of them. We've been to Lausheim and visited the city they were from, and seen the cemetery, and her parents' grave. And the only thing remarkable is that their name is Einstein, and they all...
All Einstein,
if you trace them back, they all come from about a 50-mile radius of Ulm.
In Germany.
No Einstein you trace back far enough to Germany will be from anywhere other than that area. And so they're all related. Now, we've never found the relation. And I have a thought that the Geico could get that instead, but there definitely is. He says, no. Well, cousins.
So how did they come to Pittsburgh? Or when?
Well, she was born, the late Einstein was born, the 5th of March, 1845, in Lausheim. She died the 5th of August, 1860.
Well, we can get back to it.
That's what I was trying to.
All right, well, I can look them up later. You don't have to do them today.
Fine, that's no problem. But,
about 1856, 1858 is when
they came to America.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I happen to know that somebody in your family, I think on your mother's side, was the editor or the something of the German newspaper.
My grandfather, my mother's father,
was told,
the publisher of Der Volksblatt in Freiheitsfront, which was the big German newspaper, at which they had a copy of in the old press closet. You remember on the wall they had different newspapers? They had one of those. However, in reading some of the stuff in those books of early Pittsburghers, he wasn't the publisher. He was manager of advertising or something like that. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was connected with the paper. And I never knew him to work. He was retired when I got to know him. But that paper didn't do very well during World War I.
So it wasn't a Jewish German newspaper. It was a German...
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't
okay.
Jewish. I didn't believe it was Jewish at all.
Okay. Because we interviewed your cousin Burton Hirsch, and he made reference to that newspaper, but also didn't know much about it. And he said, ask all.
Well, the newspaper I don't know that much about, but the genealogy of the family I know.
Uh-huh. So you think he was on the staff?
He was definitely on the staff. And,
and what was his name?
Lewis.
Hirsch. Okay. So that was your mother's
father.
He
was born in Pittsburgh, of the couple that came had just come over from Germany, and his father died when he was 2 years old, or maybe not even that.
Did he, do you know if he did anything else, as far as...
Lewis?
Yeah.
No.
That was his career.
That was his career. Uh-huh. When I knew him, I mean, as a kid just getting to know his grandparents, he was always sitting in a chair in his apartment calling me a balut.
The galoot, how you spell that?
I don't know. I always thought it was a German expression. And everybody that says it's not German.
I'm galoot.
I always thought he was fine. That's sort of a, you know, a nice fool or something like that.
Do you have any other things? Oh, I know what I want to know about your mother's family. Somehow your mother's family is related to the Buca family?
No, related to... Yeah, well, that's true. My great-grandmother, Helene Einstein, was the sister to Pepe Bernheim, which was Ruth Lieber's grandmother. Her grandmother and my grandmother, her sister.
So someone there married a Buca, would that be correct? A Bernheim sister?
Right.
Because we also interviewed Ruth, and she said, ask Rolf. Everybody says, ask Rolf.
Well, I can give you that.
But we'll
sure.
get that out.
Okay.
So, do you have anything else that you remember or can tell us about your mother's life that would be of interest? Pittsburgh connection.
Well, my mother was a hell of a good mother. Yes. And a hell of a good cook.
She was a good cook.
Yeah.
How about the school she went to?
She went to a school in the outskirts of Philadelphia, Lane, PA. I don't remember. I've got pictures of her, you know, at the school. Mm-hmm. I don't know the name of the school. I don't think it's still around. It was a girls' finishing school outskirts of Philadelphia. And, she did not make friends easily. She had some very, very good close friends. She was close to as long as they lived or as long as you lived. But she didn't have many of them. Did you know Hilda Hammerschmidt?
Now, did she continue with the school after that? She came back to Pittsburgh. How'd she meet your father?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. What was the day of their marriage? Okay.
But I have on our wall at home the menu from their wedding reception.
Oh, yeah.
And it lists all this fancy food, and then it says a coat room is included, and parking of cars is included. And price for the first $2.50 a person.
That's wonderful. Well, I guess this is an established way of doing things in those days. That's fun. Maybe you can Xerox that for us. That might be fun.
What's the name of the
Xerox? Yeah, it was at the Rittenhouse, which was a place that every city but the United States, Pittsburgh has. It was a sort of a party place. Mm-hmm. New York and Long Island, they had all these party
like
houses.
A party place.
Yeah, but you go there for the party. And they have dance facilities and all that. It's, I don't know whether Philadelphia has them. Long Island, they're all over the place.
Oh,
the
sure, that's where people have their weddings.
Sure, bar mitzvahs, yeah. It was in Skinny Stuff.
That's good. Okay, do you want to talk about your father's family?
Well, my father's family was a lot more interesting.
What's your father's
family? A bunch of characters.
Where was he born?
He was born in Scranton.
And oh, you said that, okay.
There were three members of the family who were born in the old country.
Which was?
Poland, Russia.
Can you pinpoint it? Twice.
Town, I don't know, but I'm trying to think of who it was.
Oh, Vysocki. Vysocki.
Oh, my Vysocki. God, it's in our book.
Yeah, Vysocki. Vysocki.
Okay, and that was...
They lost Poland.
Okay.
Went back and forth.
Uh-huh. What
I mean, they were part of the cast of Fiddler on the Roof. They came over and got that down.
What, 1880s? Okay. So your grandparents were married there? Okay.
At the age of 16 or 17.
And they had some children already?
Well, he came first.
I see.
And she came later, and Harold, one of my cousins, used to tell the story that his mother, that they paid the Russian soldiers when they ran across the border to shoot at them. But not in them.
Okay.
They paid the Russian soldiers, and when they ran across, the soldiers would be doing their duty, but they would still get away. And the three, I believe, in the war country came over. Then they went to Scranton. And
what made them go to Scranton?
They went to Scranton, we're not sure, but the theory is that there was a person from their area named, I think, Abe Cohen, who had gone to Scranton and had found a home there and was doing all right. So he suggested they come to Scranton, and they went.
Do you want to talk about the name Harrison? That's an identical Polish Russian name.
No. I don't know any more about the name Harrison than you do. Nobody, none of the children knew what the name was in the country. I asked every one of them before they died, what was your name before it was Harrison? And they didn't know. They didn't talk about it. To be an immigrant was not popular in those days, so they just didn't talk about it. None of them knew the name. My father had the theory that when they went to Ellis Island, the immigration guy asked, what's your name? And my grandfather said something, and the immigration guy replied, well, that's too complicated. Harrison's good enough for the President of the United States. That's going to be your name.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That was my dad's theory. But...
But was Harrison president?
No.
I didn't think
that's
so. It was
right.
Earlier, wasn't it?
Yes. So that blew my dad's ears. I don't know where the name came from.
Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you there. So they settled in Scranton, and what did they do for 11?
They fixed watches, they sold watches, generally jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad used to tell the story about going out to the mines around Scranton, enlisting people in watch club, where they would pay 50 cents a week for a year, and they'd get a watch that way. And so after they got the first payment, the watch was paid for.
That's just That's wonderful.
And then they went to Philadelphia for a short while. And I don't know how long they were in Philadelphia, why they went there, and everything. Then they came to Pittsburgh. And they were in the jewelry business and the mail order business. A place called the Harrison System on Liberty Avenue.
Now when you say that, now would this be the father?
The father and the son. And
okay, now you said there were more children. How many were there all?
There were nine, I think. There were a couple who didn't live very long. There was Abe who died at 21, I think. I guess that's it. There were nine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Abe, Rose, Van, Lou, Coleman, Meyer, Liv. Maury is eight.
Were they observing too?
My father used to say that his father was very knowledgeable. I got probably out of the genealogy. He was very knowledgeable in Judaism and had a little not synagogue, but a little thing in his backyard where he used to teach other people about the religion. He used to teach them. But I don't know anything more about it. My grandmother was pretty orthodox. She would come to, my mother would give a dinner party, which was pretty well done. And my grandmother would be invited, and she would get, everybody's eating this glamorous food, my grandmother would get a can of sardines on the plate, because she couldn't dump those sardines onto our plate. So she'd get the sardines in the can.
Oops, you put some parsley on. Was your mother's family?
No,
none of them.
No,
even way back.
they were among the founders of the Concordia Club and among the founders of Brother Scholl. They were very, very.
But they were at the Jewish club.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh, they weren't, but that they don't say too many prayers.
Okay, I understand. Okay, we can come back to that later. I made a note of it. Now let's go on with your father's family. So, your father was also went into this jewelry business, mail order business, and this is what he did.
Well, no, my father was an entrepreneur. He was a promoter. My father made and lost more money than I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, really?
Oh, my father. If my father had saved or invested his money, he would have been a billionaire. And my father, if he made $10,000, he spent $10,010. My father spent every penny he ever had. As fast as he could, never built. And my dad was great at organizing things and getting things started. You hear about Levittown and all that. My dad had a thing like that in Pittsburgh.
Oh, really?
In the 30s, a big, in fact, Baldwin Manor out in, you know where that is? South Hills, by the South Hills Country Club. Baldwin Manor, big project. That was his project in the 30s.
Was it his idea?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He went into mail order business before Sears Roebuck did. But he was a great entrepreneur. He was very imaginative, and he could start something. He was a charitable business. The minute he made $10, instead of investing it in the building growing or in more advertising or more product.
Well, he must have had a lot of connections as far as financing. He had to have money to start.
My dad told me the story about one day things had been very bad, and he had $10 left. And he sat like downtown Pittsburgh, and he said, you know, I only have $10 left. I'm going to worry about losing that $10. So he went to the barber shop, got a haircut, and a manicure, and a shoe shine, and what money was left, he tipped the help with me walking out. He said, I'm making a little thing. he was pretty good.
That's right.
Yeah, well, Coolant was one of his promotions. And Federal Enameling and Stamping, which has become a very big company. They were in the Keys Rock. Anyway. They're very big. He helped organize that. He helped Jones and Brown get started in the siding business here in Pittsburgh. He was with
Now, that's fascinating. Did he do any community? Did he have any community involvement? How about your mother's family? You mentioned Concordia Club. Were they founding members?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, now when did they meet each other, your mother and your father?
Yeah.
You know, did you have a wedding night?
Yeah.
Okay. Now tell us something about you. Did you have any siblings?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that comes a little later, don't you think? It's up to you. I mean, we don't have to have chronology, but it's easier if we do. You were born, you said, in 1923. Okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Whiteman School.
Mm-hmm.
Now the character.
Okay. Want to say something else about that? Right now?
Okay. Where Hermine goes, my granddaughter, and her classes last year were in the same room that I went to kindergarten in.
Mm-hmm. For the record, carriage houses, what would you call it? Preschool? Okay. So where did you live? You lived in
lived on 1823 Whiteman Street. Yes.
I'm sorry, you said you didn't have a lot of relationships, but Patrick has a relationship with
You lived on Whiteman Street and went to Whiteman School.
And then we lived on Darlington Road, then we lived on Inverness Street, then we lived on Maynard Street, then we lived in Norwood Gardens.
You moved well.
Yep, my dad's fortunes were up in there.
Uh-huh. And do you have anything to tell us during your time at Whiteman School? Did you do anything, hobbies? Did you have any lasting friendships? Did you have some people that you went to school?
I still see them, but not very often. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to religious school?
Yeah.
At Rollinsville?
Yeah.
What did you do in the summer?
Went to camps, usually. Dick Victor's Camp for Boys, which then became Camp Elwood.
Where was that?
In Elwood City. I remember as a kid taking the train to go to camp, and it was 40 miles away. I felt like I was going to Germany.
Who was one of your
counselors? Oh, Gene Kelly was one of my counselors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you learn how to dance?
No, but I remember him dancing.
Yeah, what was it? Was he a special counselor?
I don't remember. He was not in my group. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I think he was just one of the group leaders who also had the dancing talent. I don't remember there being any special counselor. Mm-hmm.
Did you go to any other camps? Did you go to the Army?
Yeah, the Army camp.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, after Whiteman School, where did you go?
Where did I go after that? I went to Shadyside. I went to Alderdice for about 6 months. Mm-hmm.
And where was Shadyside?
No.
It was out in the Fox Chapel. But it was only boys, no girls.
Right.
How'd you get here from school?
Bus. School bus. Blue bus. Those days they were yellow. Blue bus.
A blue bus. And did you graduate from Shadyside?
I did.
Any special and interesting you had from Shadyside? Were you any problem with being Jewish at Shadyside? How many Jews were
there? Well, there was a quota of 10%.
10%.
I had no trouble with that, but I remember.
Did your friends that were not Jewish?
Oh, yes.
They were.
Oh,
yeah. They all came on the bus.
No. I don't think any of them were on the same bus.
So you had a good experience?
Yeah.
And you graduated when?
41.
Never had.
And I went to work for Warner Brothers.
What? In Hollywood?
No. Do you remember the name of Duke Wayne or something?
Yeah.
No, I was assistant manager at a couple of Warner Brothers theaters in Pittsburgh. Camera phone theaters and Shanley Theater, where Hillman Library is.
What was the name of the first theater?
Camera phone.
Camera phone. They don't exist anymore. Where was that?
It was in East London. Oh, there were a bunch of theaters. Seven or eight theaters in Sheridan Square, which was torn down just a couple of years ago. And I was assistant manager there for a while. Over a period, what was it, a year and a half, I guess, I was there, 2 years.
How'd you get the job?
I knew a guy who was manager of one of the a friend of Burton's. And I recall it was one of the reasons I was going there. I really don't remember that. That's funny. I don't remember that.
Was it right at Burton's house? He was a cousin. He was in a oral history. One of the subjects of the book. Okay. And then what happened? It was now WW2.
And I was waiting to be drafted, and I remember going to my father one day and saying, I'm getting tired of waiting to be drafted. I'm thinking of enlisting. One of the memorable things that my memories of my father, I said, what branch of service do you suggest I enlist in? He said, why do you ask me that? I'm anxious to get killed. You can't play safe in life, enlist and take your chance. And it turned out to be pretty good advice then. I'm not sure I'd give it to anybody today, but it worked well. I enlisted in the Army, went through basic training.
Where?
I was inducted at Indiantown Gap near Harrisburg. And then we went to Texas, to Camp Bowie, Texas, for basic training. I went to Fort Benning for basic training. 10th Armored Division, then the 10th Armored Division, which later fought the Battle of the Bulge. And was trained with them, but after about